An amazing thing is that right even in this scriptures, the very beautiful passage is written that long time ago, when this is again in the language of mythology, the Shiva, Parvati is asking, the wife of Shiva is asking, that how did this mantra came into existence, this Mahamrityunjaya mantra, the other version which we'll discuss this this in this seminar. How did it come into existence, into being? Then he tells Parvati, long time ago, the Prakriti, nature, went out of balance. The forces of light and the forces of darkness, they became completely polarized. Either this or that, and no link in between. And at that time, the forces of darkness kind of dominated the forces of light. Extreme consumerism. It's like insatiable desire. Just devour, eat, consume. And in that process, when the process kept moving towards maturity, human beings forgot that other human beings are also human beings. And that is time when the Mother Nature herself cried. And that was time when non-material force had to come forward to subdue, conquer, and control, and guide the force of matter. And thus descended it is 7.2 10 million. So 772 million mantras. 772 million mantras descended. Koti, Dvisaptati, something like that. That many mantras descended. And at some point, they assumed physical form. They descended into the minds of some people. But at some point, those forces themselves got out of hand. They themselves became the source of trouble. The very purpose of, their revelation, their descent, was to take care of the problems that existed. They took care of the problems, but they themselves became a great source of problems. It is then came the Mahamrityunjaya mantra. It's so, if you really put it in bright context, it's not hard to understand them. It's easy to understand. You need a gun to protect yourself from the robbers. But that gun, by chance, falls in the hands of those, cranky teenagers. No. Uncontrolled, the teenagers are people without any control over their emotions and sentiments. The same gun that can protect you can also harm you or your loved ones. It's nothing, there is nothing wrong with the gun, but somehow circumstances are such that you have to be very careful where and how you deal with the guns. So that is how this phenomena starts. And it is therefore in that context I'm making all these, I'm telling you all these stories. So now let me tell you. Here. Dynamics of healing force. this particular scripture, Netra Tantra, in chapter 2, talks about very amazing things. Netra Tantra 13. Let me write some of these things, and you can write also on your paper. And also, this will give you very amazing explanation of things that are written in Sanskrit language and so poorly translated into Hindi language, Sanskrit language, and so badly, not just poorly, but rather quite, you know, mistakenly they have been understood in our modern society today. Bhuta. Let me write something. Bhuta. Yaksha. Graha. Unmada. Shakini. This is Ian. Shakini. Not me. And then Yogini. Bhagini. Rudramata. Davi. Damari. Rupika. Apasmara. First you write down this much and then I'll tell you. Because in these circumstances, this mantra will be so fantastic. You can use this mantra. This mantra is cure for all these things and few more. I'll tell you and what these things are. Unfortunately, in last 1,000 years, 1,500 years, there have been a great deal of darkness in India, and all this knowledge slowly has been forgotten. So when you read the translation of these things in Hindi language, you will just throw up, you know. But when you read these scriptures, you know, you say, my God, what happened to the Sanskritists of India? What happened to the educated people of India that these concepts totally got forgotten, you know? Totally have been forgotten, you know. And what an ugly translation has been made, how in the local languages these words have, you know, gotten totally different, you know, useless interpretation. You know. And then few more, let me write here. I'll create one more line here. So, apasmara, so pishacha. Pishacha. Brahma. Rakshasa. One word. Apamrittu. Apamrittu. Okay, so let me tell you what are these things and where this practice will come in handy, and therefore, and then from there, then I'll go back to the Mahamrityunjaya Mantra to explain the dynamics of healing force. What does it mean when you say healing? What is the range of healing force? How does it work? Once we know what is the problem, because normally what happens, it's by observing the symptoms, no? Then we infer the existence of such and such disease. But the actual problem, it's not so easy. What do you mean when there is pain everywhere? Do you see pain? Do you taste pain? No, especially someone who is making the diagnosis. Does doctor have any actual direct experience of your pain? Does he have any direct experience of, does he see, touch, feel, smell, and taste your pain? No. But through continuous observation, then observation leading to inference, then that inference leading to figuring out a concomitant relationship between cause and effect, and that much understanding then again gives us great confidence that here is cause, and if we remove this cause, the effect will be such and such. And still, nothing is really seen. But just because you start with signs and symptoms, you are able to say something, talk something, and understand something about the dynamics of the disease and its cure. This is how the process is. So now here, I'm going to talk about some of the problems that we have. No. And this practice, this mantra can cure. Now, based on that, then you can say, oh my God, that is the healing force. It has. No. So that's how we start this way. Just like, you know, it's an exact process of our modern medical science, the kind of the methodology the medical science uses in order to really, you know, cure, treat and cure a particular disease. Based on that, then you look at the nature of or the dynamics of healing force.